let's then look at Psalm 18 and verses 16 to 19. Let me just read them to you again. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. We've been looking at this psalm for a few weeks now. And as I've said before, this was probably the last psalm that David wrote. The whole psalm, with one or two little changes, is found right at the end of 2 Samuel, where we read David's last words. And this whole psalm appears there. And then we have the very last words that David spoke. And then David died. So this was possibly the very last psalm that he wrote. And in this psalm, David is reflecting upon his life. He's looking back over the years. He lived something like 65, 70 years, something like that. And 40 of those years, he was king. And he's looking back over the time when he was a shepherd boy and how they came and summoned him and how he went and fought Goliath and how he was anointed king and how Saul chased him in the countryside and how he later became king and all the issues in his life during that time. Now, the main theme of this psalm, certainly the passage that we've read up to now, up to verse 19, the main theme is prayer. It is prayer that turns up right through this psalm. And actually, he says there at the beginning of the psalm in verse 3, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. I'm a man of prayer. I have this habit. I'm in the habitual way of calling upon the Lord. I call upon the Lord. And then as we were looking last week, and we were looking at why we should call upon the Lord, why we should pray. Well, it's because we have many enemies and because God hears prayer. We were looking at verse 6. From his temple he heard my voice and my cry reached him in his ears. And then we were looking at how God answers prayer. And verse 7 to 15, you have this poetic language of God answering prayer. So we were looking at this. We must pray because God hears prayer and God answers prayer. This morning I want to look at verses 16 to 19. And my theme is simply this, how God answers prayer. How God answers prayer. That's what David is addressing here now. He has told us that God answers prayer. That's the theme of 7 to 15. God answers prayer. But how does God answer prayer? And in these verses, there are actually tremendous verses, 16 to 19. I know I say this every week when I look at a passage and I say to you, do you know these are wonderful verses? And every verse, of course, in the Bible is wonderful. But when I study these verses, I'm again reminded afresh just how wonderful and how encouraging these verses are. And I trust as you listen to these sermons, you're encouraged. That's my great aim, to encourage you, to pray, to encourage you in the Lord. So we're looking this morning then at this theme. How does God, how does God answer prayer? Now in these verses, there are three things. Three ways in which God answers prayer. And I want to bring them to your attention as I say, and I trust that it will encourage you to be more prayerful. In the first place, I want us to notice that God answers prayer personally. God answers prayer personally. Will you look at those verses 16 to 19? And notice that the word he occurs six times in those four verses. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me. Verse 19, He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Do you see that? He. Six times in four verses, you have this reference to the work of God, the personal involvement of God. Because that is what David is saying in these verses. Last week, I was using the illustration of a person writing a letter to Her Majesty the Queen. Imagine a person has a massive crisis in their life, a health problem, and the doctors can't help. And so they, in desperation, they write a letter to Her Majesty. Please, will you do something? I've got a health issue and the doctors don't seem to be able to help. And she actually, or he, takes that letter to Buckingham Palace and gives it to the guard. And as I said last week, the guard will give it to a footman, to a secretary, to an advisor. And maybe even Her Majesty will hear about it. Maybe the advisor will say, by the way, Your Majesty, somebody wrote about a health issue. But it's highly unlikely that the Queen herself will actually do something about it herself personally. Now, she may actually say, well, I'm rather moved by this. Would you make sure that something is done? And the command will go down the chain and the health secretary will hear about it and so on. But it's highly unlikely that Her Majesty herself will say, bring my car and the chauffeur. Let me go and see this person. Let me go and talk to them. And when I finish talking with them, then take me to the nearest hospital and let me talk to the consultants and let me intervene for this person. That doesn't happen. I'm not in any way blaming the Queen. She can't do this. She's only a person. And there's only so much any of us can do. She might have a great desire to help this person. Well, there's so little we can do. So you see, people don't answer these petitions personally. But you see what David is saying here? David is saying in verse 3, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Verse 4, the cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. And what did God do? God said to one of his angels, you go and sort it out. I'm too busy. No. God said to an archangel, look, you know, I've got other things on. You go and see what you can do about it. No. God never delegates any of his works. Remember that. God never delegates any of his works. Now, God uses agents in his work. He uses angels. He uses archangels. He uses us. But he never delegates it in the sense that you go and sort it out because I've got other things to do. And if you run into trouble, come and see me and I will see what I can do about it. It's not that sort of delegation. When God appoints some work to one of his servants, God is with his servant, enabling his servant and working through his servant. God never delegates. That's why David in this passage comes back to this concept of God personally was at work. He says, the cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. I was in distress. I prayed to God. And then he sent help from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. It is he. Isn't this a wonderful thing? Isn't this a wonderful encouragement to pray? When we pray, God himself personally gets involved in that situation. Have you ever thought of that? Imagine your car doesn't start on a morning because it's been snowing and the battery is flat. You go out and you have some important thing to do. You have a member of the family who needs your help. And you get in the car and the battery is flat. And you pray. And you say, well, Lord, I have a great need here. There's a member of my family in great need. I would like to go and help them. And the car battery is flat. Would you please intervene in some way? Now, God doesn't say, oh, for goodness sake, a battery in Clevedon. Well, it's Clevedon anyway. God doesn't do that. Isn't it remarkable? God himself personally gets involved. He doesn't send an archangel or an angel and say, oh, goodness me, it's only a battery. You go and sort it out. God himself personally gets involved. You've had, haven't you, remarkable answers to prayer in those sort of situations. I've had remarkable answers to prayer. You pray about something and you open your eyes and there passing is just the person you need. Or you can pick up your phone and call the emergency services and they're there within 10 minutes. How come they got there within 10 minutes? God moved. Don't think of anything as an accident. Oh, the guy says, it just so happened when your call came. I happened to be in Clevedon because there was another emergency and they contacted me and they said, oh, there in another part of Clevedon is a flat battery. I just happened to be around. How come he happened to be around? God moves. Never forget this. God answers prayer personally. You look at all the examples in the Bible. You look at the time when Joseph was in prison and he prayed and it says the Lord was with him. Doesn't say an angel was with him. The Lord was with him. The people of Israel in Egypt, they were in slavery and they prayed. And it says Moses was in the wilderness and he saw this bush burning, but it wasn't being consumed. And he said, I'll go and look at this site. And it is God himself who has come to Egypt. Doesn't send an angel. God himself says, remove your shoes from off your feet, for the ground where you're standing is holy ground. God himself is there. I am. Jehovah is here. And you read about the Passover night, Exodus chapter 12. And the text says very clearly, God himself came to Egypt. And God passed through the land of Egypt. And God visited every Egyptian home where there was idolatry and sin and judged that home. And God passed over every home where the blood of animals had been pasted on the door and the lintel because God had graciously promised them salvation. You see, God himself has come. And you look all the way through the Old Testament. And the number of times, I mean, here was this couple during the time of Judges. And they've been praying for deliverance because the Philistines have enslaved the people of Israel. And this couple have been praying. And God himself comes to them and promises them a son called Samson. And they have a son called Samson. And Samson delivers them from slavery by the Philistines. And then you come to the New Testament. And God's elect people are slaves of sin. We are God's chosen people, but we are slaves of sin. And God doesn't send an angel or an archangel and says, now look, my chosen people are slaves of sin. Go and release them. Emmanuel, God with us. It is God who comes personally himself. It is God who is there in that carpenter's workshop in Nazareth. Yes, it is Jesus Christ, fully human, but fully God. It is God who is walking in the Judean countryside, teaching and working miracles and calling disciples to himself. It is God himself who goes to Jerusalem in the last week. It is God himself who is arrested and a false trial takes place and is sentenced to death. And it is the God-man Jesus Christ who hangs upon the cross of Calvary to free his people from their sin. God answers prayer personally. You look in the book of Acts And it is God, the Holy Spirit, who comes on the day of Pentecost. And it is God, the Holy Spirit, who comes again in Acts chapter 4 when the church is being threatened by the Jewish authorities. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who goes with Paul in his missionary journeys. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who saves souls and strengthens Christians. God answers prayer personally. It's a wonderful truth, you know. It's a wonderful truth and a great encouragement. So that's the first thing I want us to see in this passage, that God answers prayer personally. But I want us to see secondly here in this passage that God answers prayer consistently. God answers prayer consistently. Look at this passage with me and look at the different ways in which David describes answers to prayer. There's a variety in the language that he uses. Look at it from verse 16. He sent from on high. The implied word there is help, obviously. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I prayed. He sent help from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. Verse 19, he brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. You see all these different verbs that are used. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of the waters. He rescued me from my strong enemies. He brought me out into the broad place. All these different verbs. Now I think what David is doing here, he's looking back over his life and he's looking at various incidents and how God heard prayer and how God worked in different places at different times. And what David is saying here is that there has been this consistent pattern in my life. God has heard and God has answered prayer. He thinks of the time when as a young lad, he's facing Goliath, the Philistine. Now, it's no human skill that enabled him to kill Goliath. Yes, he was a skilled man with the sling and the stone, but it wasn't mere human skill. Nothing happens by chance. The book of Proverbs tells us that. The book of Proverbs says everything that happens is under the control of God. So when he took that sling, he had a prayerful heart. And when he began to swing it and he released the stone, he had a prayerful heart. And it is God who directed the trajectory of that stone into his forehead and killed him. It is God. And so David looks back at that and David says God answered prayer in a certain way. And then Saul begins to pursue him in the Judean wilderness. And God and David has various times when he's very close to death, very close to being captured. And he prays. We have some of these prayers in the book of Psalms when Saul was pursuing him. David prays. Those prayers are written there. And God answers in a variety of ways. There's one particular incident when Saul is almost upon David. And in a few hours, he's going to capture David. And a message comes to Saul that the Philistines have declared war on you. You'd better go to your frontier and defend your border. So he has to leave. Now, how did that happen? Was that by chance? Did it just happen that the Philistines decided to attack on that particular occasion and in that particular location? Of course not. This is God at work. So you see, God has delivered David through various means, but consistently, God has been answering prayer. I know prayer is a struggle. Of course I know that. And I know that we all go through difficult times in our prayer life. Of course I know that. You mustn't think that I'm somehow superhuman and that I can pray through everything. I've been through huge crises in my prayer times. And I've often thought to myself, is there any point in praying? God doesn't seem to be answering. We all go through that. You mustn't condemn yourself if you go through times like this. And you mustn't think, well, I must be a rubbish Christian, that these things happen. But we must always then go back to the scriptures. And this is why these passages in the Bible are so important for us, because here we have a reminder, God does hear prayer, and God does answer prayer, and God uses a variety of means to answer prayer, but God is consistently at work answering prayer. You know, one of the things you find in the Bible is that God has, of course, anticipated your crisis, and he has already put into motion the answer to your prayers, and you haven't even reached that crisis. I think, for example, in the Old Testament book of Genesis, and how Jacob and his family faced extermination because there was a famine. But God had already anticipated all this. Joseph had been sold as a slave to Egypt, and Joseph had become the second in command in Egypt, and he had stored food. So you see, God had already planned the deliverance of his people, and the people didn't even know they were one day going to need deliverance. How often do you see that in the Bible? Now, we must always remember, God answers prayer in his own time. He is all wise. Never forget that. He is all wise. He has all wisdom. So God isn't our servant. God isn't, you pray and I will immediately answer. I will run and do it. God isn't like that. He's not our servant. He's our Lord. And God decides when to answer. And God decides how to answer. And God decides what means to use in the answer. We are to pray and we are to trust. It is faith that pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must always pray in faith. And when our faith wavers, we must pray that he'll strengthen our faith so that we may pray in a way that pleases him. So God answers prayer personally, and God answers prayer consistently. And then thirdly and finally, God answers prayer graciously. God answers prayer graciously. David is looking back at his life. David is looking at all the times when he got into an absolute mess, a terrible state. And David is looking back at how God intervened at that moment and how God answered prayer and got him out of that mess. You see, he speaks about it. He took hold of me. Verse 16. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me. You see, he's looking back at all this. And of course, he knows that some of those messes that he got into were of his own making. Of course, he knows that. He knows that he sinned with Bathsheba. We were reminded of that in the family talk. He knows that he sinned when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He knows that he committed sin when he had her husband Uriah the Hittite murdered. He knows that he sinned when he told lies about that whole incident. He knows that all that mess that came, including the death of his baby, were his own making. And yet God answered prayer. I was asking myself this question. Which is the greatest answer that God gave David? Which prayer was it that David could look back and say, the answer to that prayer was the greatest answer, the biggest answer, bigger than all the others? And I think the prayer that God answered in a way that is greater than any other is when David prayed, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." That's the prayer he prayed after he had committed sin with Bathsheba. He was accused by Nathan, and he was convicted by the Holy Spirit. And he fell on his knees, and he prayed. He knew he had done sin. He had committed adultery. He had murdered. And he prayed this prayer, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." I'm reading Psalm 51. And God answered that prayer. Do you see the grace of God in David's life? Do you see how compassionate, how merciful, how gracious David has been to God? God even answered that prayer after adultery and murder. Now we look back at our lives, and God has answered so many prayers graciously. How often we've got into a situation that was our own making, disobedience, and God has answered. I wonder if you ever say to yourself, is God not answering because I'm a sinner? Is God not answering this particular prayer because I've somehow offended him, somehow done something wrong, somehow in some way done something terrible? Well, I say to you, no, God is gracious. If you're a Christian, your sins have been washed away. God doesn't hold your record before him. When your prayer comes to him, God doesn't say, now bring me that person's file. Let's see what they've got on their file before I decide whether to answer or not. There is nothing in your file. Your sins have been washed away. Your sins have been cleansed. Your sins have been hurled into the depths of the ocean. They are gone. They're blotted out in the blood of Jesus. There is no sin in the sight of God, because God has been gracious to you. So David looks back at those times when he had sinned against the light of God, and yet God had answered his prayers. God answers prayers personally. He himself gets involved. God answers prayers consistently throughout David's life. He saw answers to prayer, and God answers prayer graciously. We may sin the greatest sins, and I'm not giving you license to do that, but God will always be gracious and answer prayer.